So I want to talk to you today about, we're in the power series. Everybody say power series. And so we're learning that there are some practical things we can do to put us into the supernatural. You were never intended to live this earth in the natural. But what happens is many people come to know Christ and then they don't walk in the fullness that he intends them to walk in. There are situations that you're going to go through and you won't be able to handle the situation by yourself and in the natural. But God wants you to be able to handle the situation. Here's what the Bible said. The Bible said the same spirit that rose Christ from the dead is the same spirit in you. How many know that's a supernatural spirit? So, but here's what I'm going to say. That there's practical things that you need to put in place in your life that will help you move into that supernatural. That's what the Power Series is about. So let me give you some. For instance, we've already gone over these. The power of simply asking. You simply just going, God, help me today in my interview. Amen. It's just a simple way that you can go from going into that interview by just your own ability and your own intelligence and your own understanding into a supernatural understanding. And God wants you, for instance, at that place, you might be getting dressed, and the Holy Spirit might say, no, don't wear that outfit. Wear something more conservative. And you don't know. You don't know this person who you're going to interview with, but how many know? The Holy Spirit does. And so what are you doing? Now, because you ask, God, help me in this interview. Now, that was the power of simply asking. And now, now you have to be smart to then do what he asks, tells you to do. But how many know that's powerful? The power of church. I don't understand why my kids are so rebellious. Well, I do. I'm smiling, right? Because your children have come to church once every 2 months. There's not a, Pastor, you make your kids come to church? Yeah. I make them do all kinds of things that are wise. I also make them buckle up when they get in the car. Amen? Why do we think that, listen, this is the most important thing you ever do with your kids? But the power of this church of just constantly, every Sunday, every Wednesday, a Sunday and Wednesday, just training these kids and training yourself, that gradually, incrementally, you're just learning more and learning more and learning more. And here's the thing, and you're changing your mind to think on a higher level. That's the power of church, the power of anticipation. God loves when you say, like the woman with the issue of blood said, when I touch the hem of his garment, I'm going to get healed. God's going to heal me. God loves when we brag about him. Matter of fact, many times in the Word of God, you'll see people simply asking God for things. And you know what he calls that? He calls it worship. Because it's worship when you say, God, I'm anticipating that, you know what, when I go into this interview, I'm going to be the best person. They're going to love me more than anybody else. And that's what I'm proclaiming. God loves that, amen? God loves when you proclaim, my marriage, you know what? My marriage is healed and whole, and I thrive in my marriage. I thrive in my work. I thrive in my finances. You know what? I'm losing weight in Jesus' name. Amen. Power of anticipation. Powerful force. Today I want to talk to you about, well, let me set it up to you like this. This is something that I got to be honest with you. If you don't get a handle on this, the quality of your life will be diminished greatly. Let me ask you this first. Have you ever had anybody who's offended you? I mean, anyone? You ever had it? Raise your hand if you had someone who offended you, who did you wrong, okay, now raise your hand. How many have had more than one person happen? Okay. How many know this kind of stuff happens throughout our life? And here's what I've witnessed. Let's talk about older people for a while, can we? Okay. Here's what I've noticed. And praise God, how many know we got a young church? Amen. Come on. Somebody say we have a young pastor. I hope we got that on tape. Amen. Anyway. So, but listen to me. But what I've noticed about older people, and I thank God for this church because we are a multi-church. We're multi-ethnic. We're multi-generic. We're multi-generational. Okay. And we're multi-hairstyles. Amen. No, really. Well, that's what I'm saying. Amen. How many know, even if you shave your head, that's a style. Amen. I'm just saying. Okay. But there's incredible diversity in our church, and we thank God for it. But let's talk about the older people. Here's what I notice with older people. They're either sweet, I'm smiling, right, or not sweet. So we got old people that are sweet or old people that are cranky. And what I notice about cranky old people, how many know they're like really cranky? Here's why. Because they're either, let me tell you what's going on there. In the course of life, you're going to be hurt over and over and over and over and over again. And so you either walk in the power of forgiveness or you retain that annoyance, that anger. The Bible calls it a root of bitterness. And what you do is when you retain that, then you start developing, everybody say developing, a mindset. And that mindset is, people are against me and I'm against people. And you become, and the problem with that is you're going to continue. The reason why this is so critical that you understand is because in the course of time, in this next year, I guarantee you, people are going to offend you. Here's what you need to know. Some of the people that are going to offend you are just not nice people. It is. But some of the people that are going to offend you are working out their salvation with fear and trembling. They're just at a different place in their spiritual development. That's right. I'm just asking, does everybody have to be as smart? Does everybody have to be, what if there's someone, you know, what happens if there's a 3-year-old or 2-year-old out there or a 1-year-old out there just learning to walk, you know what I mean? You know, and they fall down. What do? You pick them up and go, "But you stupid kid, what's your problem?" If I did that, you'd look at me, "Oh my goodness, that is," can I tell you what? I'm just asking, you know what? Why do we do that spiritually with people? Can we give people the same grace that God gave us is this making sense to anyone? Can we recognize there might be people over here and be gracious to those people as we are understanding that we haven't made it that far over yet either? We're still on our projection forward, right? Looking like Christ. The Bible calls it sanctification. So all I'm saying is maybe those people aren't really evil people. Maybe they're really loving Christ. They're just way over here in their spiritual development. Maybe they've only been saved for 3 months. Amen. Or maybe they've been saved longer, but they're just not walking in where they need to be walking. Am I the only one who's had a bad hair day? You ever had a day where you just, I'm just asking. You ever have a day where you're just ticked off at people? You're just like, why am, you know, this happened to me, you know what, like 20 years ago this happened to me. One time with my wife, that was a joke, because it happened like 3 days ago to me. So, but I was like, why is it like snotty to my wife? You know what I mean? Like halfway through the day, I just went up to her and said, honey, I don't even know. I'm sorry. You know what I mean? I don't know. I'm just, you know, sorry. I didn't have no excuse. I just said, I'm sorry. All I'm saying is, listen to me. This is a critical power that we need to understand, the power of walking in forgiveness. Well, let me quickly go over some things that I believe will help you from the Word of God to how are we going to take this power? How are we going to walk in forgiveness, true forgiveness, where we're really not just at an external, yeah, I know what's right to do, but an internal, really forgiving. How do we do this? Let me answer some questions for you first. Number one, if you're taking notes, please write this down. If you're not taking notes, please write this down. Number one, who do you have to forgive? Who is it you have to forgive? How many know there are some people that that if you had an extra ticket to the ball game, how many know there are some people you just want to go with? You know what I mean? Like I'm just telling you, if I got an extra ticket to the ball game, you know what? I would love Pastor Paul to come with me. That's the truth. I mean, he's fun. You know what, person? You know what? If I got an extra ticket to the ball game, I want Richard going with me. You know what I mean? How many know if I got Richard and Paul with me? You know what I mean? I'm gonna have a good time. Amen. Watch this. But how many know? I like to say that, but let's be honest. How many know there are some people that you might not be on your list to call right away? Right? See, here's the reality. There's people that are easy to get along with, and there's other people that are harder to get along with. And those people that are harder to get along with, those are probably the people that you have hurt you. I'm just saying. But here's the reality. Who do you have to forgive? Well, here's what God says. Here's who you have to forgive. Everyone. You don't have the option to just to forgive some people, but not forgive other people. Just to like the people that you like, but the people you don't like to not walk in forgiveness. You just don't have that option. Who are you to forgive? You're to forgive everyone. Look what the Bible says in Luke chapter 6, verse 27. If you don't have that verse, we have it here right. If you don't have a Bible with you, we have it right up here on the screen that you can read word for word. Well, look what it said. But I say to you who hear, who really wants, remember what Jesus said? He has ears, let him hear. Everybody had ears. But he's saying, who really wants to get this today? God is saying to us, but I say to you who hear, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. And pray for those who despitefully use you. To him who strikes you on the one cheek, offer the other also. And from him who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who asks. And from him who takes away your goods, do not ask them back. Now, how many know that is different than what is normally espoused by your friends and your neighbors and even your close friends, your relatives? Here's what I'm saying. That what we have done is and it's why it's one importance that we see the importance of church, because we have to renew our mind. Because we have people telling us, in our society, here's what we've said. And we've said, this is a virtue. It's virtuous to be kind to those who are kind to you, but it is totally moral to be unkind to those who are unkind to you. And we've held this up as a virtue. And God says, no, understand, my ways are not your ways. That with me, everything is different. My kingdom is different than what you're used to. Who do you have to forgive? Here's who you have to forgive, everyone. And listen, and I don't mean to make light of some of the hurts that some of you have gone through. Because some of the things that God is asking you to forgive are not like little things. They're major things. All I'm kindly pointing out is that you don't have the option, if you are a Christian, to pick and choose. You know what? I'm going to forgive this one, but not this one. I'm going to forgive this one, but not that one. You don't have that option. Number one, who do you forgive? Everyone. Number two, when do you forgive? When do you forgive? Well, look up on the screen and I'll show you. Okay, right now. Okay, now let's say it together. And let's say, I'll count to three and you say right now. Ready? One, two, three. Say it a little louder and say it a little quicker. Ready? One, two, three.
Right now.
Okay. Here's when you need to forgive. Right now. Okay. That's when you need to forgive. See, what we have done is we have gotten used to, you know, the Bible says, give no place to your flesh. Give no place to it. And what happens, and I'll show you through the word here, what happens is people offend us and we kind of enjoy. How many know the Bible says sin is enjoyable for a season? How many would confess? I know this, you probably don't want to confess this. How many know it's kind of fun to like wallow in your misery for a little while? And you're like, they shouldn't have done this, and they knew it. You get kind of in that, and they knew it. You know what I mean? You get in that kind of, and it's kind of fun. You know, it's like feel the cadence. You know what I mean? And it's the truth, is it not? We get self-justified in repeating the offense. All I'm saying is that doesn't help you. And I'll show you how it's kind of enjoyable and kind of fun. And what happens is we have gotten so proficient at this that how many know you can get so good at something? When I was in grocery store, I worked in the grocery store for 25 years. I know that's hard for you to believe, but for 25 years I worked in the grocery store. For 10 years here, I was bivocational. I still had a job because we weren't just at a church of the size that we could even afford even one full-time employee. So it was bivocational, happy to do it. But after 25 years of checking groceries, how many know I could become pretty proficient at that? You know what I mean? And you get really good at something. I'm smiling, right? We can get really good at becoming offended. And watch this. We can get so good at being offended that we get so touchy that it doesn't take anything to set us off. Can I tell you where we're at as a society? Can I tell anybody, can I make an observation of what's happening in America? Listen, there is, we have accepted the virtue of everything offends us. The universities are so crazy on this side that it's just craziness. Now, listen to me. We need to be loving people and very gracious to people. We need to not, you know, sometimes we can just walk around what do they call that? What's something in a china shop? What do they say? Like a bull in a china? No. We don't. But I'm talking to individuals now. We can get on this other side where we're easily offended, and the Bible tells us don't be easily offended. Be gracious to people, and when you can get so easily offended, you get to the place where you just are annoyed with everyone and everything all the time, and you're a misery in your own universe. So you go to Tahiti on a cruise and you're still miserable. Amen. You know why? Because you went. Do you understand? You created this, and it's like it doesn't make any difference. And listen, and that's where people live who are they walk in unforgiveness all the time. And it's very, very problematic. So, but can I tell you what? You can get proficient at forgiving quickly. And just letting things go. You can get so proficient that you can come up with an excuse when it seems like there's no excuse for that person. How many know when you do that, God smiles down at you? And you think to yourself, I don't even know why. They're probably just having a bad day. I'm just asking, have you ever had a bad day? Isn't it great to just not be offended and to forgive people? No, but I know they were. I know they did that on purpose. Okay, well, so what? Maybe they're just evil people, okay? Okay, but do we need to revert back to step one? Who are you to forgive? Forgive everyone anyway. See, that's not a justification. We've made that a justification. I'm okay not forgiving some people. No, you can't do that. When do you need to forgive? Right now. Right now. Let me show you some passages of scripture on this real quickly. When do you need to forgive? Right now. Let me show you some passages of a passage right here. It's in Ephesians chapter 4. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun set down on your wrath. How many of you know the Bible says in James that the wrath of man doesn't produce the righteousness of God? It's your wrath. You're ticked. I don't have to take this anymore. Well, you could do whatever you want, but you need to walk in forgiveness with people. And here's the thought. The thought here is not, Paul is writing in a poetic form. He's not saying, you know what, they ticked me off at 7 o'clock in the morning, and I got till 6 o'clock tonight to let that fester. It's not what it's saying. He's saying, listen, don't you let one day go by that you keep the offense that you've had that people have done that day. You don't you dare keep it for the next day. When are you to forgive? Right now. No, not right now. No, right now. And you've got to see it that way, because understand what bitterness is. Bitterness is like a battery acid. You know what I mean? You ever been working in the car, you get some battery acid on your hand, you're like, oh, you know, I come in, oh, what are you doing? Oh, honey, I'm washing my hands. I got battery acid on my... Come here, no, you got battery acid on your hands. What are you doing? You're going to wash it. When are you going to wash it? Right now. You know what I mean? That's how you need to see unforgiveness. It is corrosive. It is so harmful to you. You need to forgive right now. And you've justified it because you didn't, you know, but the hurt was so bad. No. It doesn't make any difference how bad the hurt is. And I'm not saying that it's the easiest thing to do. I'm just saying you're going to be so better in just getting rid of it right now. Look at this. How many know that everything in the Word of God is inspired by God? But listen to this. Listen, not only is every word inspired, but how many know the order is inspired? In other words, how many know God knows God is going to put... you know what? The next, look at what happens right after this. Look what he says. Do not let the sun set on your anger. Watch this. Nor give place to the devil. What does the devil come to do? Steal, kill, and destroy. See, here's what you need to understand. You need to get rid of it right now, because that, even though you didn't do that, it's still on you. They did something. They did something wrong. They wronged you, but unfortunately, it's still on you. You didn't get the battery acid on yourself. They threw it on you. But guys, it's still on you. So you too, I'm not going to forgive. You know what I mean? Okay, the battery acid is on you. You're not going to wash it off. This is nonsensical, guys. Yeah, but I didn't. It doesn't make any difference. It wasn't your fault. Listen, I understand that. They did you wrong. But you've got to get that off yourself. And if you don't, here's what's happening. You're allowing place to the devil, who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Who do you have to forgive? Everyone. When do you have to forgive? Right now. And you need to see it that way. Number three, How often do you have to forgive? How often do you have to forgive? Are you ready? Ready, 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 ready? Stop counting! Stop counting! See, understand the problem. How many know in life, you know what? Put your clickers away. You know what I mean? Stop counting. The problem is, because here's the thing. You think there's a number. You think there's going to be a day. Is there a day? Let me just ask you this, couples, because many of this is just with couples. I mean, it's all over because all kinds of people offend you. But I'm just being real. Many times, it's with couples. Let me ask you, married couples. You know what? I'm just asking. You know what? Is men, let me ask you men who are married. I'm just asking, is your wife perfect yet? No. So you're like, I don't. Sometimes. That's right. You answered it better the first one than the second time. Okay. But here's the deal. He answered correct. Sometimes. How many know that? Let me reverse it. Okay. Women, come on, help me out. You know, women, are your husbands perfect? No. Somebody said no. No, wrong answer. Sometimes. Be kind. Okay. No. Sometimes. Sometimes, which if they are, so no, okay, no, here's the reality. Here's the reality. Listen, if they are sometimes, and can we all agree, sometimes they are, well, what does that mean? If they are sometimes, then what does that mean? Sometimes they're not. Okay. And even though, you know, there's this sanctification taking place, how many know that I need to stop counting? Here, the Bible says this in 1 Corinthians. Show it to me. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. Look what it says. Do not dishonor others. Do not. It is. Oh, love. Love it does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. Look here. Here's what it is. Love keeps no record of wrongs. It doesn't have a counter. It keeps no record. Why does it keep no record? Because it forgives when? Right now. So if it forgives right now and you don't let the sun set on your anger, you know what? There's you know, what's the big deal? And here's the thing, you're walking in freedom now. You recognize that your wife, can I tell you, husbands, what your wife is? Your wife is like you. She's filled with imperfections. Can I tell you, wives, what your husband is like? Your husband is like you. He's filled with imperfections. You know what? It's one of the most, one of the things that Jesus hates. Jesus, when he was on this earth, he hated more than any other sin. Do you know what sin it was? It wasn't lust. It wasn't greed. It wasn't selfishness. You know what it was? It was self. And I'm not saying he doesn't hate those things. I'm just saying the thing that really set him, really you'd see just a righteous indignation of God come out is when he dealt with people who were self-righteous. Self-righteous. No. Love doesn't keep record of wrongs. You know the story. It's in Matthew chapter 18, verse 21, where Peter's like, and let me tell you, Peter was like, because the tradition said that you need to forgive people three times. So Peter was like, I'm going to be all this in a bag of chips. Jesus, check me out. How many times Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times. And Peter thinks Jesus is going to, remember when he said, who does men say that I am? And there's that boom, boom. And then he says, who do you say I am? And Peter's like, you're the Son of God. And Jesus is like, Peter, you know what? God has revealed this to you. I believe that Peter thought he was going to say, oh, Peter, God has revealed this to you. He doesn't say that. Look what he says. He says, Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times. Can I tell you, ladies, listen to me. You've got friends who are telling you, enough. You tolerated him enough. You don't have to take that. Amen. I'm just saying. And men, the same thing. You don't have to put up with this stuff, man. You don't have to put up with that. Don't put up. You have people egging you on. And what they're saying, hey, 7 times is enough. But let me tell you what. Jesus doesn't say that. That's not his counsel. Can I tell you what? The Bible talks about not taking the counsel of the ungodly. Don't take that counsel. Take Jesus' counsel. What's Jesus' counsel? Let me tell you what, Peter. Put your counter away. That's what he's saying. Again, he's speaking poetically as he says, you know what? No, not 7 times. Up to 70 times 7. He doesn't think Peter's going to get a calculator. He's saying, Peter, put your counter away, dude. Just stop counting. That's what he's saying. Peter, stop counting. What is he saying to us? What is he saying to you today? God's not a respecter of persons. He's telling you the same thing that he told Peter. And let me say this. And he's as serious to you as he was serious to Peter. Here's what he's saying. Stop counting, guys. Stop counting. Number four. Why do you have to forgive? Well, let's look at the answer. Why do we have to forgive? Why? Because God commands it. Remember when you were little, I don't know, you know, some of you are older than others, but when I was little, my parents had a way, especially my mom. My mom used to say this, you know, you know what I mean? When do you have to clean up my room? And here's what my mom said. This is deep understand, deep knowledge. Are you ready for this? Deep wisdom here. Because I told you to. I'm like, oh. I never thought of that. Because I told you to. Oh. But can I tell you what she was, and maybe she didn't say that with a lot of wisdom, but can I tell you what? The principle was actually quite wise. Here's what she was saying. Listen, she was teaching me delegated authority. I don't have to tell you the answer. I'm your mother. Wow, that's a foreign concept. Is it not? You know, listen. One person said, if I had to teach anything, this is interesting, Pastor George, he said this, he said, if I could teach anything to the body of Christ, if I could only teach one thing, if every church I went to, God said, you can only teach one thing, here's what it would be. He said, I would teach honor. There's such a void of honor. Such a void of honor. And we take that into God. We just think, you know what? God's our bro. And I understand that, and I appreciate that. Here's what the Bible says, that God is closer than even a brother. And so we need to enjoy that intimacy and that sweetness and that friendship that we have with God. But can I tell you what? Don't forget that God is God Almighty. That God is above everything. And so, I'll tell you the why in a minute. I'll tell you the why. But you know what? Can we get back to kind of old school that we're just obedient to God because we recognize his ways are higher than our ways? Amen. Does God have to explain everything to us for us to be obedient? Or can we just be obedient because God says to do it? I just think that there's something of wisdom to just understand that we really have an understanding of God's ways are, and we don't necessarily have to understand it. I'm going to explain it to you in a minute. And after I get done, you'll go, wow, it's so smart to forgive. But I think it's just cool to be obedient to God because he says to be obedient to him. Because he's God. Let me give you a scripture on this. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. Now, it's interesting because right after he tells you to be imitators of me, then look at the example he gives because it's so good. And walk in love as Christ also walked in love and gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice and a sweet-smelling aroma to him. Again, notice the order. Walk, be an imitator of God, and right after that, you know what example he gives? The biggest example of forgiveness that is ever seen in the history of the world. Jesus Christ going to the cross. See, in other words, God is saying, you want to imitate me? Here's the first thing on the list. Walk in forgiveness like Jesus walked in forgiveness. Why do you have to forgive? Because God said to forgive. Number five, here's a good question. Do you have to forgive? And the answer might shock you. Here's the answer, ready? Do you have to forgive? Do you have to forgive? No, you don't have to forgive. You don't. You can do what you want to do. You don't have to forgive. You don't have to walk in love. How many know right before you're going to light that joint? Amen? When you're right ready to, you know what I mean? You're right ready to smoke that doobie. How many know God wasn't like, you know what I mean? How many know God didn't blow, you know what I mean? You're like, man, why do these matches not work? You know what I mean? God, what are you doing? You know what I mean? How many know God will spark it up if you want to? Do I need to preach to this side for a little bit? I don't know. I'm just saying. How many know God doesn't stop you from doing that? You know what I mean? I mean, you could, I'm just saying, you know what? Listen, you're driving, you want to flip somebody off, you can flip them off. Amen? Somebody looking at me, Pastor, I don't know what you're talking about. Okay, whatever. Some of you know what I'm talking about more than you're admitting you know what I'm talking about. Hey, how many know some of you flipping them off, not literally, but in your mind you're flipping them off. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. No, hallelujah. You see the little... Okay, I'm just saying. Listen, you can do what you want to do, including you can... Are you learning something today? You don't have to forgive. You don't have to forgive if you don't want to forgive. But listen, your pastor wants to tell you this. The answer is no, you don't have to. But I don't want you to walk away from here not understanding the consequences. See, you can do what you want, but don't think that there's no consequences for you to not do what God tells you to do. Listen, our country, our Supreme Court can say, if they want, just like they said before they said, no, this is unconstitutional. You can't do that. Abortion is wrong. We have to protect that life inside of that womb. We have to protect that. Just like our country said that for a while, now our country's saying, no, we don't have to protect that. Just like our country said for years that marriage was only between a man and a woman. Now our country's in, you know what, the Supreme Court said, no, we're going to change our mind. You can do what you want to do. But listen to me. There will be consequences in our country for the choices that we have made. I'm just saying. And there will be choices that you will make. Do you have to forgive? No, you don't have to. You can resent people. You can justify. You can keep on going over how they hurt you, how they hurt you, how they hurt you. How many not? No, you keep on going over that. I mean, you can have just weeds, just a whole area of just weeds this high. But if you start tracking through it, if all you do is go this way and go this way and go that way, some of you, how many know you clean your carpet and you go, whoa, trip out how good the carpet looks over here and how not good it looks there. Why? Because you just kept on walking. That was a walkway. Some of you in your minds have just repetitively talked about, man, they hurt me. Man, they hurt me. Man, they hurt me. Man, it really hurt. It really hurt. It really hurt. It really. And you'll get into it and you do what you want. But guess what? That hurt is now so deep and so serious and so detrimental. And I'll show you in a minute. It's detrimental to you. Do you have to forgive? No. But let me say, if you don't forgive, you know it. Some of you, how many were Catholic? Raise your hand if you're raised Catholic, all over the place. You know this. And even if you weren't, you know this. You know what? Our Father, how many had to do our Fathers, you know, 8 times because you pulled your friends, whatever. Right? 8 Hail Marys and 50 Hail Marys. You did a lot. Okay, anyway, whatever. Okay, but our Fathers, and so you're our Father, and so you go, okay, do 10 Our Fathers. You're our Father. Right? And you could shout, you could do that so quick, and you know what? But can I tell you what? Look at what the prayer says. Are you ready? Let's say it together. Show it to me on the screen, guys. Our Father, and pray this manner, our Father in heaven, say it with me. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our sins. Stop. And forgive us our sins. We said it so fast, we never even knew what God was saying. Forgive us our sins. And here's the radical. Listen, I'm going to mess up a bunch of people's theology. Can I tell you what? When you think something like this and Jesus says something different, guess who's wrong? I pick you. And I pick me too. Because when I come against God's word, guess what? God is right all the time. His ways, the Bible says, is perfect. Forgive our debts. Here's the radical part, as we forgive our debtors. In other words, there's correlation that God says that he will only forgive you to the degree that you forgive someone else. So we're like, ooh. No, you don't understand, Pastor. God is a loving God. I can do whatever he wants to do, and he loves me. True? He does love you. But if you will not forgive, he will not forgive you. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
Listen. we're here. Guys, there are some people that God will not forgive. And you said it 100 times. You just don't know you said it. When you said the Lord's Prayer. And Jesus is saying it to you today. Not because he doesn't love you, but because he's not changing. God is the same yesterday and today and forever. He's not changing. There's no change in him. Now, in case you don't believe this, as soon as he's done, he's going to reiterate it again. And watch how strong he reiterates it. Go to verse 13. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Next verse. Now watch this. So he's just done praying the prayer. Look what he says. If you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Don't go on. Do you see the correlation? If you see this word for if. If indicating that it's up to you, if you forgive, he'll forgive. Watch how specific he is. Watch how repetitive he is. Watch how many know there's not any clearer communicator than God. If you forgive, then he'll forgive. But look what it says next. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your See, can you not forgive? Yes. Just understand if you don't, there are some Serious consequences. And before you revert back to your old ways of yuppity, and let me tell you, that's not helping you. Understand what God says. He says, yuppity, okay, I understand that. But they've hurt you a little bit. You know how much I've forgiven you for? You know what will help you? I don't care the person who did, and maybe it was something as radical. I don't even want to speak some of the offenses, that how radical they might be, because I know they might be unbelievably traumatic. All I'm saying to you is that person hasn't, if you forgive that person, it's not as big as forgiving as what God has forgiven you for. It's just not. And so what that causes you to do is just kind of recognize and soften up and write, well, okay. Are you learning something today? Hebrews, go to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15. Hebrews chapter 12, 15. Look carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any, watch this, root of bitterness. Everybody say root of bitterness. Root of bitterness. Springing up, cause springing up. Everybody see springing up. Okay, cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. How do you get defiled? Here's what happens. This springing up of this root of bitterness. There's an offense. You disobey God and are going to take that offense, even though the Bible says love. How many know we're all called to walk in love? Love is not easily offended. Love keeps no record of wrongs. Do not let the sun set on your anger. See, do not let the sun set on your anger. And then it talks about the devil taking advantage of you. See, God isn't against you. God is for you. Yeah, but he wants you to get on his system. What's his system? You just forgive fast. Because here's what happens if you don't. It'll be this root of bitterness. It'll grab you. And it'll develop in your life. And you'll be mad at him. And next thing you'll be mad at them. And then this will tick you off, and that'll irritate you, and it just will engulf your life. You need to take that little seed, that little irritation, that little thing that you've said, no, but I'll tell you what, and let me just tell you what, it happens in families all the time. It happens in couples all the time. I'm convinced that, and I'm not saying, I understand if you've been through a divorce, I'm not trying to say that you're evil or you're wrong, or you know what I mean? Because a lot of times with divorce, you're doing everything you can to keep the marriage together, and somebody just says, I'm going to divorce you. I already know in California, you don't got no choice. But I believe that many times divorce happens just because we haven't walked in the power of forgiveness. And we say stuff like this, well, we've just fallen out of love. We just grew apart. And we put all this poetic expression into a reality that just says, hey, we just haven't made the Lord of our life, the Lord of our life. We just won't do what he says to do. Let me answer one more question, then we'll stop. Is there anything harder than walking in forgiveness? How many know walking in forgiveness, particularly if somebody who's really hurt you, is a difficult thing? Is there anything harder than to forgive? Well, I would say there is one thing that is harder than to forgive. You know what it is? Yes, there's one thing, unforgiveness. Unforgiveness. And here's why. Because forgiveness causes you to be free. Unforgiveness causes that root of bitterness to stay in your heart. It grows. How many things grow? It doesn't stay a little thing. It grows. And it affects your whole life. And you've justified now, you know what, you're mad at this person. You've stopped that relationship. You've run from that relationship. You're not into it. And you just justify. And you know what? And you're a mess in yourself. And God says, I don't want you to be that way. I just want you to walk in forgiveness and you'll be free.